Hello and welcome to another awesome episode of the BTN Mac Show. Yes, I am your interim host this week, Patrice, the II host, because the I host is actually making money. You know, like Apple in the late 90s, when they had to figure out how to make money and not lose all of it. No, Jeff is not losing money, but he's still, like, he has a webinar that he had to make, had to do now. And, you know, like, bills need to get paid and all of that. So he had to step out and I had to step in. But that's not a problem, because I have an awesome panel with me for this BTN Summer Fun Edition. And I'm going to start at the bottom of my screen, because it's only three people. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for stepping in for us to keep the show going. And it's Friday. It's been an exciting week. Had a lot of good content this week over on the podcast with the interviewed the developer and mm-hmm. the regular show. So we're going to have some good stuff on my show. But beyond that, the weather's been beautiful here. It's been nice and cool days and clear
that
skies.
Sounds good.
Got like
cool,
that.
So cool sounds good.
The heat's been gone for at least the last week here. So.
No, cool sounds good. That interview with the developer of what was it called?
Mimir.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. Like the app is really good. Thanks for the recommendation, and I was really excited about the interview, and it turned out great. So
yeah, thank you.
Good job.
He's a really nice guy too. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing. He also developed the game. Was it Legend? I got to look at my notes here, but it was.
He mentioned Legend it in the show.
Yeah. Oh, you heard it. So yes. Yeah. That's kind of a really cool about that's a really cool thing he's done. But he had a lot of different apps. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. But
But it's a really cool podcast app. So definitely we're checking it. Like Jerome and me, we've been testing podcast apps for like the last years, I think.
Yeah.
And switching between them and getting frustrated with each of them and like switching to another one and it's still not working. So I'm giving it a try and I've already subscribed and I'm on the betas and everything like the usual.
Awesome. Yeah, he'll appreciate it.
I'm paying for it even though I don't have to because I'm on the betas. But I basically subscribed before I switched to the beta to make sure that he gets the money. So.
It's not that expensive.
$12 a year? Yeah. Not even a month, a year.
Yeah.
No, it's not that much. And I'm like, okay, I want the guy to continue. So.
Me too.
Let's do that.
Thank you.
Top left on my screen, the man, what did Bob Beach say? The international man of mystery, Chuck Joyner.
No, I said that about Bob, but thank you
anyway. Oh, sorry, never mind. Well, it works for you too. So.
Yeah,
I didn't read it. I just saw Bob Beach and International Man of Mystery.
So I think I'm going to nickname you Captain for this, Patrice.
Okay.
That way, if I say I Captain, then you know I've got it. You're the double I host, so I Captain.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
This is how my mind works this time of morning. It's just not a little weird.
Yeah. Whatever you need for your brain to work properly. I'm fine with that. So, as you may or may not have heard, I mean, hopefully you've been listening to the previous shows. We've been doing this for a month and a half, I think, by now. The BTN Summer of Fun. And I totally stole that idea from Relay FM. It's a good idea to, like, when the news is really slow and right now, I mean, there's nothing going on, to take the chance instead of, I mean, we could have just taken like a complete break and not do shows and all of that, but we were like, we like doing this. Let's just do something fun. Let's talk about some topics that we wanted to talk about that we usually don't. I mean, other than the occasional, and when I say occasional, I mean basically every show, the tangents that we go on, like the occasional tangent that we go on. Other than that, we rarely ever get to talk about the things that we're excited about and that we want to talk about outside of the usual context and the tech show that we're trying to do. So this is it. We're doing both the big show and the Mac show. We're doing some really interesting topics. Like we did one about musicals and musical TV shows last week on the big show. We did one about like the future, Star Trek versus The Expanse versus Star Wars, like which future will we get? There's actually a part two that we should do at some point because we forgot half of the shows that we could have talked about. So there's definitely a follow-up coming on that one. We've talked about our favorite devices. We've talked about like prolonging the life of our devices. Like we've had so many different topics. And so this week's topic, brought to you by the person who's not here, our high host, is like, what is our favorite, or what are our favorite Apple devices of all time? And yeah, I'm going to hand it over to you to start that off because I have to think about that for a second. So who has the first one? Yeah, I'll hand it off to you. Like, Chuck, what is your favorite Apple device of all time?
Yeah, you know, Patrice, these are always difficult things to say simply because I think every device, with just a couple maybe bumps in the road along the way, my favorite devices are always the current models because they're always the best. So, you know, trying to say that of all time, you know, I mean, there's no question. My current M1 powered laptop is absolutely my favorite of all time. We were just talking pre-show about when you have an application that like Topaz Video Enhance AI, where something takes on an Intel machine, it might take literally 2 days to render out an hour or two's worth of video. When you move it to an M1 Mac, then you see that drop to maybe 12, 14 hours. Mm-hmm. Then you move it, you know, up the scale and suddenly you're down to eight or 9 hours. And so when you see that kind of, when you see something that really affects you, forget the benchmarks, when it affects what you do, you really appreciate the fact that, okay, I am paying for this and I'm getting something for my money.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we're sliding back toward that better balance of form over function. Because the battery life, and I realize it's the M1 chip that's doing it, but we're getting better and better battery life. We've got a great screen. We have, you know, maybe not a great, but a passable camera built in, you know, that you can live with pretty easily if you want to. So I feel like right now we're at a pretty good place. Naturally, I want faster. I want a better camera. Better battery. I want all the key things. But I would say, because I live in my MacBook Pro so much, you know, that you almost have to go by category. So I'm going to pick that right now as my favorite of all time.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm with you that my favorite right now is also a lot of times my favorite of all times, especially like the 14-inch MacBook Pro. I have the M1 Max one. Was definitely top of my list, and not because it's the latest one. There have been some MacBooks in between. I'm gonna say, like the Intel ones I had before, I was mad on. I was like, yeah, it's another one. It kind of works. It kind of doesn't. It's kind of not great. They redesigned it, and they redesigned it in a way that, like, it's not just the M1 that's doing like the battery life and the heavy lifting. It's also the redesigned case and so on to give it a little bit more battery life. And make it a little bit more robust and all of that. I think it's the whole package, and I'm with you. Like, for me, that was a big step, like to switch that. Also financially, not gonna lie, it wasn't cheap, but it totally paid off.
Yeah, but when you start, you know, Wall Street always wants to talk about the race to the bottom. You know, who can produce the cheapest thing, and. You know, I still believe that you get what you pay for. And so my laptop cost me, more money than I care to admit to. But when it's something that I use every single day for hours upon hours, every single day, both for business, for, you know, the podcast stuff, and also as an entertainment device, you know, it's hard not to justify spending that money.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, you say it, you get what you pay for, but that's not with Apple. That's usually, but also not always the case. But it's definitely not the case. Like if you leave the Apple side, like I mean, a Ferrari might be more expensive, but it is by all like objective measures a worse car. Like they usually don't last very long. They're not very reliable. All of that. They're very expensive to repair. All of that. Like they're like if you objectively look at a fast car, like a high-end car, they're worse. They have other values that some people value and some people don't. The same thing. Like there are other categories where that is true. Where like I mean, yesterday I already talked about the tech fails. And I mentioned one HP, like 2003, 4 HP compact laptop that I had that was really expensive and was a complete crap. So,
I probably had it when I was for work. I remember how bad their laptops were.
and we actually like Googled real quick and they have really bad reputation, like to this day. So it's not always the price that will tell you, but in Apple's case, that's mostly, but not always the case. I mean, think about the butterfly keyboard. You got like you paid a lot of money to get a MacBook Pro, and you got a really crappy keyboard that didn't work. So it's not always.
That's a fair point. But that was a part of the overall laptop. And I'm not suggesting that this is something that everybody should do or should for, give a pass to Apple on. But you could plug an external keyboard or use a Bluetooth keyboard, and you still had a great computer. The keyboard was not where it should have been, but it wasn't something that prevented you from having a workaround that could give you that really great experience. So.
And when we talk about the best devices of all time, maybe we should say maybe it's the most memorable devices for us as well. And Bob Beach brings one up that I'm not gonna name because maybe someone picks it. But there were some memorable devices that at the time were great and still like to this day we have fond memories. And for me, that is the black MacBook. The like late 2000, like seven, I think, seven or eight.
2006, 2007, yeah.
Six, seven, something like that. The MacBook, and specifically the Mac one, because it was in the sea of white Apple devices. And I mean, there was, if you wanted a MacBook, you got a white one. If you wanted a MacBook Pro, it was silver. Like there was basically, compared to today, there was one color choice. And they did a black one, and it was more expensive. I think it was like $200 more, and you got, let's say, $100 worth of extra disk space, and $100 was for the color. And I paid it gladly because it was a device that stood out. It was a really great device. It lasted forever. I sold it to a neighbor for like cheap, and he even like after 5 years I sold it, and he even had it for another two or three until like it completely broke. Like we replaced the battery at some point, and it worked fine. But eventually it just broke after like 7, 8 years. But this was a. I think this was also one of the last MacBooks that they did, right? After that, they switched to the unibody design.
Right.
So
That
for
was my
me,
first.
yeah, it was for me the same. It was my first, and for me that still stands out as one of the best devices I've owned. Sure, the current 14-inch MacBook Pro is by all measures way better,
Oh yeah.
but it still stands out.
I had the white MacBook, and that was my very first Intel-based Mac, and I had the PowerBook prior to that, the little guy, the 12-inch PowerBook. I got it used. That was my first forte at getting into Mac, so for Mac. So, but once they switched to Intel, that's really just got me over the top, and I've been there ever since. So, but I had the white. But I'll segue to I think my all-time devices. I mean, for me, because I talk about iPhone all the time, I would probably say iPhone, but I really want to say all time, because just what got me over the top with starting with devices with Apple was the iPod. The iPod was revolutionary to me. I've pretty much had every one of them since the beginning when they came out. I always was a big music lover, enjoyed listening to music. I had my turntables, I had my cassette players. I didn't have an 8-track. Once that first iPod came out, and I had and the big advertising of having the 500 songs in your pocket and all that stuff, just I think of anything that the Apple came out with beyond the Mac, which the Mac was their mainstay for a long time, I think that's an all-time favorite of mine, is just being able to put all that music on that device and be able to bring it with me and listen to it anywhere I wanted to. Yeah. And it evolved too, because we remember very well the beginning where you had FireWire, you had no Windows support. Not that I wanted it, but at the time I had to because I didn't have a Mac. So I in fact I did buy that iPod anyway, and I didn't have I only had a Windows machine, so it was quite a way to. And I think we were more of anything we wanted to figure out how to hack it, and a lot of people had figured that out pretty quickly to get around that. So, but then Apple. You know, change their ways and
released iTunes to Windows
to both, right?
Yeah, I mean,
so
you're absolutely right. I mean, that is one of I think that might have been one of the best / most memorable devices, because I mean, the pitch of, I think, was it 1,000 songs in your pocket?
1,000 songs, right? That's right.
Yeah, in your pocket. I mean, that alone, and then I mean, it started the whole trend of like very trendy headphones. Like the silhouette, like later on the silhouette ads, like with the white earphones, and I mean a lot of other brands like copied that later on. It started a trend, and it started really a culture shift to some extent. And I mean, I think that says it all.
It does, yeah. And I remember the pre iPods. I mean, the Diamond Rio and some of those. Sound Blaster devices, and there was some really bad ones.
Oh yeah, I had a really bad MP3 player that I bought like three times because it broke all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So once the iPod came onto the scene, that was the game changer. And then, and iTunes came, the iTunes Store, and everything that revolutionized music as we know today is due to the iPod.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, all the other iPods that came after are less memorable than the first one.
Right.
Not that they're bad devices.
I mean, I've showed it before. I've got the first iPod. It still works. And the mechanical toggle of the dial is so cool.
Yeah. That's it. Not that the devices were bad, but the first iPod was so memorable and game changing.
Still think about Steve Jobs when he first introduced it and pulled it out of his pocket. And look at this. I have 1,000 songs in my pocket.
Before we lead this, I mean, since Patrice changed the rules, I want to go back and just mention the
what rules?
Well, the favorite as opposed to best. The Blackbird Mac PowerBook, the 500 series. I loved that machine. I mean, it was the first laptop with the trackpad. But it had those dual bays that you could use so that if you wanted two batteries in to give you extra life, you could, or you could take one out to, you know, to lighten the load a little bit. Third-party manufacturers built different things to put into those bays. Like, I know I had some extra storage that went into one on the one side. Mm-hmm. That was a really great, great design for the time. Yeah. It's kind of ironic, though. You think back about, gee, that was really great. Well, it had a 640x480 screen, you know.
Yeah,
but it did have built-in
your
speaker.
Your iPhone has a better screen these days.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the original iPhone somewhere around that. Different orientation.
Resolution, it was probably pretty close.
Pretty close, I think.
Yeah, but it just, you know, that design I thought was really brilliant because it. It gave you the ability to a little more make the machine what you wanted to carry around with you, as opposed to, okay, here's this, and you have to carry around separate devices and dongles and all that, which we're still doing a lot of that for some very good reasons. It was an interesting design.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, on my list, I have a lot of the first devices, but there is also one, because Dave talked about the iPhone and so on, or mentioned it at least. The iPhone 10, for me, in hindsight, is design-wise and the changes that were introduced, one of my favorites. And I mean, at the time, it didn't look like it. I wasn't sure about it, and I kind of got it, and like the whole, it's delayed by a month and it was really hard to get it first and so on. But if you think about it, it's clearly there's a clear delineation between, let's say, the old design and the new design. And the old interactions with the home button and Touch ID and all that, and the new version with no home button and Face ID and so on. And honestly, I really like all the things. I like the interactions that they came up with. I like that I don't have a home button. Like, I have this camera here that's an SE that still has a home button with Touch ID. I hate it. I wish it didn't have it. And I mean, this is a work device, so who cares? Mm-hmm. But yeah, and as I said, like Face ID, some people don't like it. I'm now, especially with the recent changes where they had to adapt a little bit to like the pandemic and masks and so on, and it's working really well. So for me, I really like that current generation design, and the iPhone X started it. Like, I mean, yep. 10R, 11, 12, 13, 14, all of them. Well, 14, we don't know yet, but they all go back to that design.
Yep. Agree.
So, Dave, do you have another one on your list?
Well, I guess we talked about the iPhone. Just trying to think. Again, go back to my MacBook. I kind of agree with Bob Beach in the chat mentioned the first Retina display, the 2012. Mm-hmm. I had the 2012 and I had the 2014. The 2014 was probably my really exciting one, the one when I got the 2014 MacBook Pro with the Retina display. That was quite a game-changing thing, and it still had the good keyboard. So, and that was a great machine. I kept it for quite a while. I think my wife had it for a bit, and then we finally traded it in. But
Wasn't that also the one that dropped the DVD drive, Super Drive, whatever it was called?
Yeah, that did not have an external drive.
I was super excited. I was super excited about that. I was like, finally, this stupid drive that I haven't been using since like four devices is finally gone.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was such a waste of space in a laptop.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people were upset, as always. I remember, I think, when I joined the current company and I got a MacBook Pro, they actually got me like one of those super drives. And I think I gave it away. I was like, okay, who needs a super drive in the office? I was like, who needs a super drive? And someone said, here. And I'm like, here. Because I was like, I still have it.
I have that one. Yeah. And I also bought the Pioneer had a nice portable Blu-ray external drive that I use now. If I'm going to rip any discs and such, I have that. Not that activity occurs as often as it did in the past. But that laptop really was memorable for all the Macs I've owned ever since, and I've been pretty much upgrading ever since then. So,
and again, there is a clear line. There's a pre Retina and there's a post Retina phase. And I think Pop Beach said it. Once you had the first device, you couldn't go back. No. No. Like you looked at the old screen and you're like, oh, what is this? Like something's broken. No, it's just this is how it looked before. And I mean, nowadays we have, I wouldn't say everywhere Retina, but we have a lot of Retina devices these days.
Yeah.
I think a lot, some monitors aren't, and in some cases it also doesn't matter if it's Retina or not, to be fair. This is a thing.
Yep. I mean, iPads, Retina, no. iPhones.
Puppy is saying, I still have my super drive, haven't used it in years. I think, as I said, I don't know if anybody is using it at all. Like,
yeah, I think a lot of us are like that.
Yeah, it's funny how that was the answer to mass storage for a while. Mm-hmm. And then, first of all, we found out about disk rot. And also, you know, we just moved through that stage so quickly that it wasn't enough storage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I could look in my closet, or I got a box of a whole spool of the DVDs. I think I threw them away
at some point. I'm like, okay, I'm never going to use them.
The high capacity DVDs, I forgot what they call them, that the 9.6 gigabytes in stored, as opposed to the 4.7.
Yeah. I'm going to take us back to the iPod for a second, and I doubt that either one of you are going to agree with me on this. But I thought the iPod Shuffle was a cool little device.
I agree with that.
You know, it. But yeah, because of course you did, David.
Don't you own, David? That's maybe we should start listing that. Yeah. Like,
David is pulling his out right now.
Remember the pack of gum? This one.
Oh, yeah.
I still have it sitting in my drawer here.
Yeah, but you know, it had no screen. You could only play the songs on shuffle, but the ability to take, you know, any music with you in that compact a form that was of your choosing, you know, and it was relatively easy to, you know, move stuff on and off from songs from your Mac back and forth. I mean, I don't think it got nearly the attention or the love that maybe it should have, because it was overshadowed by so many of the more capable iPods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it still was a cute little device.
I know people who, to this day, they nanny their iPod Shuffle. Because, I mean, it is probably, I don't know, close to 10 years old, over 10 years old by now. But they still nanny it, because for them, that's the ultimate exercise device. Mm-hmm. Because they can just, like, take a pair of cheap headphones and go out for a run. Sure, these days, you would probably go with an Apple Watch, but, I mean, they have it and they like it, and they like that it's so small and they don't want an Apple Watch and many reasons. So they just go with that and it works. And I mean, it's actually one of the few, it's the only iPod I've ever owned, even if it was only for like, I don't know, a day, because I got one and that was maybe also a downside for the device. I got one when I opened the bank account.
Yeah,
with Deutsche Bank. They gave it away. And I was like, and at that point I had an iPhone and I was using an iPhone for music and whatnot. And I was like, I don't need this. And my sister got it. Like she was like, oh yeah, I'll use it for exercising. I'm like, okay, here you go. So as I said, I owned it for a whole day. But that was the first and only iPod I've ever owned. But it didn't have all the capabilities and all, and like everything that the others did. But it was for the thing that it was intended for. It was perfect.
Yeah, Bob Beach says it was introduced at Macworld in January 2005. Mm-hmm.
And there were so many different iterations of the models. I mean, this one I showed, I know, was not very popular, because the only way you can even do anything as far as changing tracks you want to do is from your headphone.
I think that was the one I got. I'm relatively
sure. But even the first gen, which the white one, the long mm-hmm. one, was the long pack of gum, and this one's like a piece of Trident gum, I guess they give you this one. but the square one that had the buttons on there to change tracks and all and stop play and all that were very popular, because people would clip them right up at the top of their their shirts.
Clip them on your exercise gear, like your bra, whatever, like you're wearing. It was perfect for that. I'm surprised. Bob Beach is saying it was announced in January 2005 and discontinued in 2017. They sold it for that long. I didn't even know that. I thought they stopped like in 2009 or 10 or something.
Yep.
Yeah, but as I said, I know people that today still use them and they're quite old, but they work.
And the little
I'm surprised the battery is still working. That's the only thing.
Yeah. And the little clip one was the one I was referring to. Because you're right, they, you know, that particular name had a lot of different models. Mm-hmm. But that one, you know, that it was just nice, you know.
Yeah. It was a good idea and it totally worked, and it took an idea. I mean, Apple didn't come up with this idea. They have been like the MP3 players that I had in the late 90s that, as I said, broke three times, and I bought them again because they were cheap. I think the idea was very similar. They were very, very small and compact, so you can clip, and they had a clip at the back, so you could clip it on something. I think, as I said, the idea wasn't novel, but the execution was really well, and people came with all the Apple ecosystem, iTunes and the iTunes Store and all of it.
Well, and Patrice, that, you know, I don't want to overlook that point, because it is the ecosystem. It was iTunes. It was the ability to manage your music, because, you know, even then a lot of us had music libraries larger than our device, and the ability to move things on and off. And, you know, that was painful at best with just about any other platform you can name.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Kids, remember organizing your music library? You don't know what that is, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
today, now, very few people do that, actually.
Yeah, well, Mulder in the chat.
I still got hard drives filled with music I would do that all the time.
Well, sure. Mulder says, Sony Walkmans were the true revolution in portable music.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
If we go outside of Apple,
Yeah, but it was, you know, it was, I mean, I remember
completely
having
different era.
I remember having a case in my car that was the size of a briefcase to hold all the cassettes.
I did too.
Yeah.
You know, and that wasn't hazardous at all to change cassettes when you're driving, not at all.
Especially if you're in your car.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I got pulled over one time. The officer thought I was drunk because I'd crossed over the line. And what had happened is I dropped the cassette, so I leaned over to get it, and just at the wrong time, and he saw me. So
don't
do
that.
Yeah. So you know, those are the things we've come so far, and we laugh about, you know, back in the day when I was, you know, that age, or you know, when I, you know, was doing it. But it really, it's so many things have advanced so quickly.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So, and we know Sony blew it, but they should have kept going with it. And I remember I bought my first Walkman.
Remember Kodak, right?
Yeah. Same with Kodak. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I loved my Walkman when I had it. So I had so many different models. I can't even think about it.
Yeah. No. I said if we leave the Apple space, then that's definitely true. But I would say the iPod was the Sony Walkman of the digital age.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not that there were no other devices and there was no competition, like, but the impact it had.
Well, let's face it, the Zoom was a really big threat.
Microsoft and their fine.
It was
ways.
On our list yesterday of worst devices. So
that should be the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. What did they say that instead of sharing songs, you could squirt songs? Don't I have that right?
Squirt?
I don't remember that.
I think that was. I think that there was. Yeah.
Maybe it was. Was it bumping? Like
you could. No, there was bumping, but I think there was squirting too. As. I'm Googling.
I mean, it's Microsoft.
You better check that.
It's Microsoft marketing, so everything is possible. Yeah,
fact check that one.
Yeah, I have another first device, and I've never owned one. In fact, I wasn't even alive or born yet, at least. I think I might have been alive at that point, but I wasn't born yet when that device came out. When it actually shipped to customers, let's put it this way, not when it was announced. And that's the first Macintosh. It kind of started the GUI era of computing. I mean, that we have to this day. I mean, the iPhone, the iPad are just continuation of, like a logical continuation of that starting point. And it evolved, and Microsoft took the idea and made Windows. And like nowadays, we have GUIs everywhere. But it was, at the time, really, really important, and I see that, and it's one of the devices I'm like, I wish I had been alive then, and I wish I had one, because that I'm pretty sure that was at that point magical. I mean, I remember the first Windows 3.1 PC that I used as a whatever 3-4 year old maybe, and I still remember at four, like I still remember that, like I used DOS, and then we got Windows, and that was glorious. And I can only imagine, I mean, you know, DOS and Windows were not great at that point. I can only imagine how much better things were probably on the Apple side. So.
Yeah, it was revolutionary in 1984.
Yeah, and the design is still, I mean, it's in museums and all of it. Like, it's a very unique, very memorable design.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the Apple II was a command line interface.
Yeah.
And, you know, there had been a few efforts at making a GUI on the Apple side, on the Apple II side, I should say.
Yeah.
But yeah, to make that transition over was, you know, I mean, it was a transition, you know, and it took a little getting used to the idea that now I've got to use this thing called a mouse or,
It was a completely new input. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember the Apple II had experimented with mice and you had that to a limited degree. But I remember distinctly the first peripheral I bought for my Mac when I bought, the Mac SE was my first Mac, but the first peripheral I bought was a trackball because I was never a mouse fan. Still am not. So, you know, from those early days, I had a Kensington trackball. And that made the transition for me a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, yes, you were squirting songs with the Zune. I put a link in the show notes or in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stephen Levy wrote that show. Wrote that article.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, as you said, that was at that point. I think everybody knows the ad that Apple did, and I think that's like even people who don't care about Apple have heard about that one because it went way beyond the device and way beyond Apple even, and it became kind of a symbol for, okay, this is like good marketing and a good and a campaign that's memorable, no matter what, if they even remember what the product was it's for. People remember the 1984 ad. The Super Bowl ad, and I think it's there's again a clear line before and after, before the Macintosh, after the Macintosh, and yeah, as I said, I think it is one of the best devices Apple made. I mean, except for obviously that, as I said, every iteration of that was, at least in most cases, better than the one before, but this started it. I mean, we still have the Mac. It's not called Macintosh anymore, but it's the same.
To go to take another favorite device that Apple's no longer in the business of, but if you think about the original ImageWriter printers.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, because that somewhere between the GUI interface and those printers, the desktop publishing industry was born. And you know, still, I mean, even by today's standards, it's still a huge industry. I
remember fonts.
You got your first fonts. That was
that's a thing, and I mean, that's a thing that Apple came up with. I mean, something that a lot of people also don't know, the Linux printing system CUPS, that is actually still, I think, to this day running on your Mac, and you don't see it. If you know where to go, you can actually in the browser, I have to check if it still works, but a couple of years ago it still worked. You can open, like if you put in the correct address, you can still open the CUPS system, the printing system, and configure your printers from that. And I mean, that is an open source project that Apple started decades ago and that they're still doing to this day for Linux and for the Mac. So that's, yeah, and that probably goes back to that printer. I would bet that's the reason they have it, because they had the printers and they needed something to manage them.
Yep.
And then eventually someone wrote a web-based GUI for it. I don't know why, but someone did.
Well, of course. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very natural for a Mac to have a Mac-based GUI. I'm guessing that there was a reason for Linux servers that they did, or maybe even for Mac servers. They did that, like printing servers. Yeah, but it's, I mean, that's something that a lot of people don't remember, that Apple used to make printers and was one of the, I would say, few companies that actually sold them. I mean, they were kind of the obvious and, let's say, to this day, existing companies that ship printers. But I think, as far as I remember, Apple was one of the first that did it.
And I think I said ImageWriter. I meant LaserWriter.
Was it LaserWriter? Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, that was my fault. Yeah, there was an ImageWriter, but that was Dot Matrix. But the LaserWriters were the ones that started it all.
Yeah. Wasn't that the first laser printer? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least that.
Well, at least one of the first.
Or yeah, that was within reach of most people. Otherwise. Mm.
Oh, okay, that's fair point. It could be that there were some commercial. Commercially available ones before.
Yeah. There's so many ways that Apple has changed the game along the way. That was one, but another one that kind of conveniently gets overlooked, I think, was the airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when they
when Wi-Fi was an idea.
Oh my God! When they introduced that, you know, it's like if you either got it and understood the implications, or you just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not even imaginable today. I mean, Wi-Fi is, people don't even think it. Most people honestly don't think about it, and most people probably shouldn't think about it. It's just there.
Yep.
Yeah. That is one a lot of people ask, like, why did Apple get out of it, and they should do it again.
There's been rumblings about it.
Yeah, that's true, but I'm
I
not so,
just
I
don't
mean,
see it.
honestly, I'm not, I don't see it, and I mean, I think the decision was still right, that to say at some point Apple can't do everything, just like they got out of the printer business. There's a point where it's just every, I
The
mean,
service
where the
is what's
market,
making it.
yeah, where the market is saturated enough, and the products on the market are good enough, that there is not a need for Apple to do it.
There's only one
Compared to
reason for Apple.
displays, where there was nothing and they had to go back into
Yeah, there's only one reason for Apple to get back into a Wi-Fi base station or an airport or whatever, and that would be security. That if they could that they could hopefully tout their ability to be as secure or more secure than anybody else. But first of all, that means they have to deliver on that without compromising functionality.
Yeah,
And
I
so,
security and I think some HomeKit functionality might benefit from having it. On the other hand, they've done that with the HomePods now, so who knows?
exactly. And how do you make money in the Wi-Fi market, the home Wi-Fi market, or even small business Wi-Fi market now
That's the
with
thing,
so
it's
many well-established
margins.
players, that.
Yeah. So thank you to Dave to put in the history of the laser printer. So yeah, you're right. Apple wasn't first. Like there was in 76, there was IBM actually released the first commercial laser printer. So there were a couple around already. Still, I didn't know that the laser jet is actually exactly as old as the laser writer, which is also a very memorable line of HP, and I think they still sell it to
They
this
still
day.
make them to this day. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not the exact device, obviously,
No,
but
but the same
the line,
branding.
the same
Yeah.
name. Yeah. Yeah, it's. Thank you.
Yeah, I remember the HP LaserJet 2P. God, that was a bad printer. I remember.
Yes. They were not all. I mean, it's kind of an HP thing sometimes, I think. Like, not everything they do is great.
I can't remember which HP model I had, but I wanted it to break down because I wanted to buy a new printer and it would not die.
Okay, you
It
got
was
the
a,
good one then.
I guess it was a tank. I mean, it just would not go away. In fact, I'm honestly not even sure what happened to it. I think I finally may have given it to somebody just so I could do an upgrade. But it just would go and go and go and go and go.
And now we know someone who bought the original laser jet. Bob Beach.
Oh,
So
wow.
we have
Oh, the
royalty.
LaserJet 2.
The
Remember that?
original laser
That
jet.
thing was a
It's
beast. Oh, my God. I remember that.
yeah,
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Okay. Final round. Any additional devices or any additional favorites that you have that you want to throw into the mix?
Well,
I
we
think
have
we've
to say
talked
something.
about all the majors, right?
Well, we have to say something about the iPad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, take your pick. If you like big, there's a big iPad. If you like small, there's a small iPad. But at the end of the day, that is another way that Apple sort of changed the game. I mean, because there had been tablets out there. Remember when everybody was saying, "Oh, Apple has to have to do a netbook of some kind. Oh my God, we have to have a netbook or Apple is doomed."
And then the rumor
Doomed.
started that Apple would do a tablet, and I think someone floated the name that it would be the Ice Lake or something. And then was it, I don't know, who was it? Was it Microsoft? Some manufacturer released like a slate like a couple of weeks or something before Apple.
Yeah,
It was
there
so
was.
clear, like, okay, this is just like they just wanna capture the people who are waiting for this and maybe make some sales. Never went. I don't even know whether they ever shipped it. Like, it's just disappeared.
I'd forgotten all about that, Patrice, but you're
Yeah.
right. There
Yeah,
was a
I don't
slate.
remember who that was. Was it Microsoft? Was it HP? Was it Acer? I don't remember. I just
Yeah.
remember that there was someone on a stage announcing it, and then it just wasn't relevant, it disappeared. Maybe it was LG, I don't know.
I'm gonna have to dig
Yeah, I
around
mean,
on.
we talked yesterday about BlackBerry, what was that called? See, I don't even remember the name of it, but there was a BlackBerry tablet a couple of years after the iPad, and it was really bad, and it disappeared within like a year or something. Don't remember. Yeah, no tablet comes anywhere near the iPad. That's true. I'm not sure I would. I mean, if I had to pick a favorite iPad, I could do it. But I'm not sure I would throw an iPad in as my favorite Apple devices of all time. And the reason for it is not that it's not a great idea. It's not that it's a great device. It's not that it's great hardware. It's for me that the software to this day, I mean, 12 years later, still has not caught up with it. And that it has way more potential than Apple has ever realized. And I'm not saying it's a bad device. I'm just saying we all know it could be much better. Oh yeah, the BlackBerry Playbook. Thank you, Bob Beach. Yeah, that was another one. As I said, they were after. I mean, in that sense, you're right, Chuck. There is a clear line, and all of like after the iPad, everybody released one.
Right, and everybody tried to copy it, and nobody did it as well as Apple did.
No, I mean, including Google and Android to this day.
Yeah.
talk about bad software. I mean, I just said like Apple could be so much better, but then look on the Android side, and then you know how bad it really could be. I mean, we're really lucky that it's this good already. So yeah.
Yeah. It just, I mean, again, it feels like, well, we said this earlier about, I forget which device, but you can say it about so many. Well, it's the Mac. You know, there was that turning point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether you're an Apple fan or not, you can't deny that everybody, you know, Microsoft copied the the Windows environment. Who said that?
I think I said that.
You know, the airport base station, the iPod, the iPad.
The Apple Watch. We haven't even talked about Apple, it. I mean, other than mentioning.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, there's a turning point that Apple seems to have that ability to, you know, take a quantum leap in places.
Yeah. I've had that discussion with some people. I mean, I usually stay away from that. Like, is Android better than iPhone? All of that, I don't give a crap, honestly. But someone was saying something about the iPhone doesn't matter and doesn't count. And there were smartphones before and all of that. And I told him, I'm like, look at the smartphone market. And look at the smartphone market before the iPhone and look at the smartphone market like a year or two after. And there is a very clear line and a very clear trend. No matter whether you like the iPhone, no matter whether the iPhone is right for you, that's not the point. You can see the difference. You can see the line. And that's the important part where I say this is why it was really a game changer. And because of it, there are all the other options for you, and that's great. Like, there are a million Samsung devices, and people like them and all of that. So yeah, I mean, that's totally fine. But it there is a clear line. And you're right, you can see that for a lot of things. I mean, there were fitness watches before the Apple Watch. They're still sold, like the Garmins and so on, the Fitbit.
Yeah, Garmin, right.
I think Fitbit even had a watch before. I mean, now they have it definitely, but I think they had one before. You still see the impact of the Apple Watch on the market. You can still see a before and after. And that's good because that means that the market is evolving now. So, yeah. You know what's also evolving? Tears our host. Hopefully. No, she's they're definitely learned. I mean, they're getting better. Like we literally did I want to say it was last year. We did a migration to their new server farm into their new platform, and it was seamless. And they're continuing to do that trend. They're a really good hosting company in the UK. They offer servers, they offer domain services, email, hosted WordPress. If you don't know how to host it and you need someone to deal with all of that for you, They do a lot of really cool things, and they support us, which is also very cool, I think. And all they want for supporting BTN is really the brand recognition. You don't have to buy anything. Like, it's not required. Just head out to your favorite social media, like Twitter or Facebook, I think they're on, and just mention TSO Host and thank them for supporting BTN. And that's all they want. Like, they don't need you to buy something to support BTN. That's not required. However, if you're in the market for something, like, as I said, web hosting, domains, email, whatever you need, they are a really good company, and just head to their website, tsohost.com, I think. No, I'm blanking. I'm not sure it's .com or .co.uk. Probably both should work, actually. I think it's .com. And use the code BTN20, and then you even get 20% off, and BTN gets a credit for it. So I think that's a good thing. So thank you, TSO Host, for supporting this show and for... yeah, being so awesome for us for many, many years. And as I said, we got free of charge 2 completely new servers last year, either 2020 or 2021. You know, the last 2 years have been 50 years anyway. So we got some really cool servers, and they're really powerful. And all of the things we're doing on BTN, the live streams, the archive, like all of that, the website, all of it is only possible because of them. So thank you.
I can use them in the US.
You can. I mean, nowadays with like the internet, it's not a problem. I mean, I had servers in Europe from the US, and I've had servers in the US from Europe. Like, if there was a need for it for some project,
yeah,
why not? You can do it. Yeah, tsohost.com. Thank you, Bob Beach, for putting the link in the chat. Well, you know what's also awesome? Speaking of the chat, our live chat. We have that every week, every Friday at 4 p.m. UK time for the big show, for the Mac show, and also Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. I always get that confused if I have to go backwards in time, more in the week. And if you're listening to this live, then you can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and talk to us live, like Buller Biker is doing, like Bob Beach is doing, like so many other people are doing. And that's really cool. And you can also see all the links of the things we posted about. But let's say right now you're driving and you're listening to this after the fact, and you still want to see the links and you want to see what we talked about. Obviously, you cannot chat with us live then, because this is then recorded. But that's what the podcast is for, listening on your commute or on your walk or your exercise or whatever, wherever, like while you're doing laundry, wherever that is. You can still get to the chat and you can still see all the things we've talked about. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then you navigate to today's date, which is the 12th of August, 2022. And then you will see everything we've talked about. With that out of the way, thank you so much, everybody. Thanks, Chuck, and thanks, David, for being here, being so awesome, doing this with me. Thank you, chat room. And Chuck, tell the good people where they can find you.
I'll tell even the bad people where they can find me.
I'm not so sure about that. I would be careful with that one.
They probably already know.
That's true.
I'm at macvoices.com. That's where you can hear and see everything that I do. We do Mac Voices Live with David and Jeff and sometimes Patrice on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. We'd love to have you join us and be part of our chat room there, because it gets a little rambunctious at times and it's always a lot of fun. And on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices. Aye, aye, Captain.
Thank you. And David, where can the good people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. As I mentioned, I've got a couple, 2 episodes this week that probably the time you listen to this, take a listen to. You can find me on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm here on Fridays on the Mac Show, and on Tuesdays, as Chuck mentioned, on Mac Voices Live. We have a blast there as well. And on Twitter, DaveG65. Great job, Patrice.
Thank you. And you can find me every week here on the Mac Show on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays, which is really interesting. As I said, we're still doing summer fun. So next week we will have another really cool topic, and I'm not going to spoil what it is. So you will have to listen to that one. But it's going to be cool. We always have really interesting and funny topics. And you can find everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the projects, the podcasts, all of that. If you want to buy me a coffee, there's a link. All of that on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to me interview people, like really interesting people like Chuck and Dave, about food and food-related memories and stories. If you want to know like where to go, like all the 15,000 restaurants to go to in Chicago for the next 17 years, there's a podcast that I do called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com. It wasn't 17,000, but it was a lot. And I have a big list and I want to visit all of them. So it was that good. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, chat room. I should also mention the news show. That's really important. You know, the news show Kyle is doing every weekday, Monday to Friday, every morning in the US and in the UK and in Europe, because he's in the Philippines. So that kind of time zone-wise worked really well for us. And he's a professional voiceover artist, I think. And he does the news, like the tech news, every morning, and has been doing for many years, like really long time. And unfortunately, I mean, we pay him for that because we should. Like, this is professional work, and he's doing a really good job, and it's a lot of work. But unfortunately, we've had some issues with PayPal and with your contributions to it. So unless we can get that back up to a level where we can sustain that money that we pay him for it, this would be the last month of the show. So please, if you can give, I mean, if you are supporting, check your PayPal, make sure that it's still going and that it didn't like break again, because that's unfortunately what PayPal does sometimes. But if you can, I mean, if you have never listened to it, go listen to it first, and like see the product that he's delivering every day. And then please, if you can just give a dollar or two or a euro or a zloty or a pound or a yen. We're not taking Russian money right now, so that might be a problem. I don't think you can even listen to it. But like whatever your local currency is, if you can give us some of that, that would be really helpful already. And if we have enough people, we have enough listeners. So if everybody gives a little bit, that would already work out great. So yeah, please do that. So,
hey, Patrice, do you mind if I jump in there for a second? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because I think it's important for people to understand, first of all, that's a daily news show.
Yeah.
And
5
that
minutes
is,
every day.
That is not easy to put together. It sounds like, oh, yeah, 5 minutes, big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably, I don't even want to pretend to know how long it takes to put something like that together. That's the first thing. The second, there aren't that many great tech news, daily tech news shows out there. Mm-hmm. That, you know, will keep you up to date in a short fashion like that. I mean, you listen to Kyle and you get the information you need. Yeah. You know, you won't be surprised by anything that comes out. And I think sometimes as many weekly and monthly news shows as there are, I think the dailies kind of get overlooked.
Yes.
And the dailies are probably more important than anything any of us do on a less frequent basis, because by the time we do it, it's dated.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is something that, you know, vote with your dollars, your pounds, your yen, your whatever, and recognize that you're getting an incredible value mm-hmm. for what you're paying.
As someone who has done the news, I can tell you that is a couple hours of work usually, even if you're really experienced, because, I mean, you need to find the news stories first and the ones that are interesting and even worth talking about. It so means you have to consume a lot of news even and sift through that. Then you have to condense it down into like a headline and a couple of sentences and something that's interesting to listen to, which is not easy. I mean, anybody can read a sentence and say, or try to read a sentence somewhere. Like, it's usually doable if you can read. Like, not everybody can do that, actually. But to make it get the information across and get that across in an interesting way in as little time as possible is a skill. And Kyle is really good at that. And I think that's, and that takes time. Like, that's not also not something you do in 5 seconds. So, and then you have to record it, and then you have to edit it and upload it and post it and so on. Like, there's work, a lot of work involved.
I do it every week. I know how it goes. Yeah.
And that's a weekly show. Like, it's
and once that's a weekly show.
Yeah, right. It's once a week. And
I'm doing news. I mean, we do news, and it's hard to coordinate.
Yeah, just that. Imagine so doing that daily.
Daily is tough. We need your support.
Yeah, you're right, Chuck. Vote with your money.
Yeah,
support that. Yeah, there's really not that many. I mean, there's a couple come to mind, but there's really not that many that do it or do it well.
So pull that iPod shuffle out of the drawer, sell it on eBay, and send the money to Kyle.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
There you go.
You'll be getting a lot more value.
Yeah. If you want to do that, links are on BritishTechNetwork.com. Like every page, almost every page has a link where you can do that.
Yep.
Good. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you to the chat room for being awesome and talking to us. Thank you, listener, for listening. It's always great and always appreciated. And I mean, while we would do the show if you weren't listening, we really prefer if people find it interesting what we do. So I think it's always good to know that there are people out there who care about the things that we care about. Thank you to Motorbiker also for like herding the cats and getting people here and making sure the show happened and the show happened on time and that there are people here and that we don't have 15,000 guests, but we also have no guests. Things like that are very important. Also a good job there. Thank you, Ewan, for still letting us do this. should be said. Like, sometimes I wonder, it's like, what is he thinking? Like, is he like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God? Or is he like, oh, that's fine. I hope it's the latter, but who knows? Thank you, everybody, and talk to you next week.